OWC Radio, episode number 29, a conversation with Andy Holt. Hey guys, Tim Robertson here with OWC Radio. Thanks for downloading and listening to this episode. Really do appreciate it. If you have a little extra time, the next time you are in front of your computer and you happen to be in iTunes, look us up in the podcast directory in iTunes and rate the show and leave feedback there if you wouldn't mind. It helps the ratings. It pushes it up higher in the iTunes store. I did notice that I was looking at the technology podcast on the front page of the iTunes podcast store, or directory, I guess, because it's not really a store. There's nothing for sale on the podcast side in iTunes. It's all free content. And there we were, right on the front page. So that was great to see. And hopefully it led to some new listeners finding and downloading the show. So if this is your first episode, welcome. OWC Radio is a technology podcast, basically with one sponsor, Otherworld Computing. And this episode, we're going to talk with Andy Holt. He is the owner of A-Squared Communications. It's a fun conversation on OWC Radio. I like to have conversations with people you may never have heard of before. Now, sometimes we'll have returning guests. In fact, I've got one lined up here in a couple weeks. But for the most part, I like to talk to new people that I've never met before and find out what they're doing with technology. Get the story behind the story, if you will, the story of how they got into it. What was their first computer? What do they do currently? How do they get into business? How do they get the job for the company they're working for? How do they start their own business? On this episode, for instance, Andy Holt was having problems with the company he was working for. Well, technically, he wasn't. The company was. It was during the downturn in the economy, and they were laying people off. And you'll hear Andy actually say that he took the layoff and allowed a single mom to keep her job. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing. And Andy is a great guy. He's a family guy. He gives back to his community. And you're going to hear all that. How else would you have learned about Andy and what he's doing? So those are the kind of things that we like to talk about here on OWC Radio. And if you would like to be on the show, it's real easy. Just drop me an email, owcradio@maxsales.com. We'll have a nice, peaceful conversation on Skype. One of the things that we do on these kind of conversations is I randomly select, I call it three random questions. And it usually has nothing to do with who the person is when these questions are selected. It is literally three random questions. And the questions are really designed for you, the listener, to get to know the people a little bit better. And for me, it's just fun. You know, some of the questions that we've asked in the past, shower or bath, we ask the guests that. And the answers that you get when you ask these questions are priceless, to be honest, because people aren't expecting it. It's not the kind of thing that someone usually would ask you. And even famous people, they don't get asked those kind of strange questions. I'm not going to ask anything inappropriate. It's just for lighthearted fun, and I hope that you enjoy it. I was looking at our Twitter feed a couple days ago, and I saw Eric Osaki wrote, used Mac Mini and a newer tech universal drive adapter, rescued dead Quicksilver G4 AppleWorks database info. Thanks, @MacSales. Of course, we are on Twitter. It's @MacSales. We're also on Facebook, so make sure you find and like us there. We have sales quite often, and the first place you're going to hear about it, other than our newsletter, our email newsletter, is on social media. So make sure you're liking us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We will follow you back, and you're going to hear about the really good deals. What Eric is talking about, by the way, the Universal Drive Adapter from NewerTech. This is a great, great device. It's the perfect tool for accessing bare drives without opening up a computer or a drive enclosure. It's compatible with almost three and a half, or five and a quarter inch drive for the last 15 years and makes on-the-go accessing data on IDE, ATA, ATAPI, and SATA drives easy. It's only $28. This thing is the perfect way for you to get old data off of an old computer. So in this case, Eric had an old Quicksilver G4. He probably had some documents in AppleWorks. For those new to the Mac, you're thinking, what's AppleWorks? Well, think of Microsoft Office. It was basically that, but it was made by Apple. It wasn't compatible with any other application, so if you created a doc in AppleWorks, you had to have AppleWorks to open it up, unfortunately. Although there was some tricks that you can get into that data. In fact, what was it? Text edit. It was... I'm trying to think of the program that I... It was just recently, too. Text Wrangler. Somebody sent me an old AppleWorks document that they didn't have AppleWorks anymore, and they said, I really want to get the information off of this document. Could you retrieve it? They were thinking I had AppleWorks, and I actually do, but not on any of the current machines I have plugged in and running. The only way I could have fired up a machine would be to go dig it out of the basement, find a monitor, find all the keyboards and mice for it, and I think AppleWorks is on that machine, but I'm not really sure, to be honest. But what I did is I dragged that AppleWorks document to Text Wrangler, and it did open it. Now, you see a lot of mangled stuff at the beginning and the end, but I did get the actual text of that document. I copied it, put it in a plain text document, and sent it back to them. They were real happy. It's still, you know, if that kind of a thing is on an old hard drive in a machine that's dead, like Eric's Quicksilver G4, well, you're not going to go buy a brand new Quicksilver G4. You probably don't even want to buy the power supply, which is probably why that Quicksilver died in the first place. They were pretty notorious for bad power supplies. But if you still want to get that data, how do you get it? Well, with the newer tech USB universal drive adapter, simply pull the hard drive out of the G4, plug it into the newer tech USB drive adapter on one end and USB into the other, and it will just mount right there on your hard drive on your current Mac. And you could browse the directory, you can copy files, maybe there's old pictures that you never backed up. It's a great way of rescuing old data from old hardware, because let's be honest, you probably have an old computer sitting around somewhere with documents on there that's not on your current machine. What happens if that machine dies? You still have to get that information off of the hard drive. At least I would want to. Now, I was pretty smart back in the day. My very first Mac was a Performa 410. And when I moved to a newer machine at the time, I copied all my data onto, you know, the old floppies and moved them over. From that machine, I copied them once again via floppy to another machine. When I replaced that machine, I copied via zip disks. Remember those? So they all my files went to a zip disk. It was funny because originally it was like 40 or 50 floppy drives, and then it was one zip disk, maybe two. And then when I finally got off that machine, instead of just emailing it to myself, which I probably could have done back in the day, I burned it to a CD-ROM, and I still have that CD-ROM. Most of those files I don't really need anymore, but I like the fact that I still have it if I ever want to go back to them. There's some old archived email in there. I have no idea what I would use to open some of that stuff. I mean, it's like Netscape Navigator email. I wouldn't even know where to begin to get into that stuff. But you know what? I still have those documents. So if push came to shove, I could use something that's current to somehow read my data. But I've been migrating my data since day one to each generation. Most of that stuff now is just simply sitting in a Dropbox for me. I also have a copy written to an external hard drive that is not always plugged in. It's called my archive machine. It's not even a machine. It's just a hard drive, but I just call it archive machine. And it's stuff that I don't need, but I don't want to get rid of either. And I don't want to take up a whole lot of space on my current hard drive, so I just put it over there. And there it sits. And I do have a backup of the archive machine as well. Because if I don't have a backup of it, and that drive fails, it's gone forever. So I do have a lot of hard drives, and I have a lot of old hard drives. People tend to come to me with their technology problems, and they've been doing this for 20 years, so it's nothing new. But just recently, an old coworker of mine got a hold of me. She said her computer died a while ago. And some of the oldest pictures of her daughter was on that computer. She knows the hard drive's good. She just couldn't get the computer to turn on anymore. She had bought an external hard drive. It's just some Western Digital cheap thing that she got at Best Buy, I think. And she just wanted to get the pictures off the old computer, off the old hard drive, and put it onto this external hard drive. But she had no way of accessing the information on there. Well, I have a NewerTech USB drive adapter. Now, her computer was Windows, but it really doesn't matter because, you know, a hard drive is a hard drive, right? Especially in the last 15 years or so. I mounted that external, as an external, that Windows hard drive on my Mac as an external drive using the NewerTech USB drive adapter. Plugged it into my Mac via USB. It powered up. It mounted on my desktop. Now, you can't go through a hard drive file by file by file looking for whatever they're hoping that you're going to retrieve for them. So I just literally copied that entire drive to her external hard drive in my Finder. Just copied it right over. Once it was done, unplugged it, put the machine back together, the PC, and hey, there you go. There's the entire contents of that hard drive on the external drive now. Now, she gave me a 1 terabyte drive, and I think that was maybe 160 gigabyte PC hard drive. I don't even think it was that. I think it was closer to like an 80 gigabyte hard drive. So, I mean, it didn't take hardly any time to copy. And she still has a ton of space left on this external drive that she can do something with. It could be a new backup for her. It could be an archive for her. I don't, whatever. The point is, it was real easy for me to retrieve that information because of the NewerTech USB universal drive adapter. And this thing's only $28. Now, you can also get, if you're kind of the tech guy on the go, you're going to people's house and working on their machines there, you don't want to carry the NewerTech drive adapter just with you outside of a case. So we do have cases, a real nice carrying case for it that you can buy for $3.99. So if you're interested in the NewerTech USB universal drive adapter for $28, add another $3.99 in there if you're going to get the case for it, go to MacSales.com and just buy it right there. If you can't find it, got an even easier way to find it. Go to the show notes for OWC Radio at blog.MacSales.com. Under episode number 29, that's this episode, I'll have a link to both the drive adapter and the case right in the show notes. So that's the easiest way of doing it. So I hope you guys really do enjoy the show. I'd love to have feedback from you guys. If you send feedback, send it to owcradio@macsales.com. Make sure that you're checking out macsales.com, by the way. We've got a really cool garage sale currently going on. Now, as I record this, this is going on, and it's February 3rd, 2015. Which, by the way, I've got 18 and a half inches of snow in my yard right now. That's a lot, by the way. Pull out a ruler, measure 18 and a half inches of snow, and then think you have to shovel through that. People are not happy around here. By the way, I didn't shovel. My wife shoveled this time. I was interviewed, by the way, on a show called The Podcast Digest. It was real fun. It's You know, I do a lot of interviews slash conversations here on OWC Radio. I'm not usually on the other end of that type of an interview. It's happened a few times in the past, but not very often. Sometimes if I'm on another show, I'm on as a guest and we're talking about the news of the day, or they have me on for a specific reason. But this was an actual interview where they talk about, he asked me questions about when I got into podcasting, which is over 11 years ago at this point. And it's it kind of made me stop and think how long I have been doing this. It's been a long, long time. And to be honest, I'm having the most fun I've ever had in podcasting nowadays. I'm having a blast here on OWC Radio. Of course, last week I got to do the interview within the John Lennon bus. How great is that? I mean, I feel very blessed and fortunate to be able to do stuff like that. It's fantastic. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to the show. I hope that the enthusiasm that I have for doing it comes through. But I really would like to have feedback from you guys. What do you think of the show? Do you have any questions? Do you have any Mac questions? iPad, iPhone, iPod? If you got any questions, let me know. We could find the answers for you, and I will let you know the answer right here on OWC Radio. Or if I'm doing something on this podcast that you don't like, man, I wish Tim would stop doing this, this, or that. Let me know that too, because I'm always open to making the show better. Yes, I've been podcasting a long time, but I'm not going to pretend that I'm the best at it. I have a lot of room for improvement. And the nice thing about podcasting, and I actually say this on the interview on the Podcast Digest, which, by the way, I'll put a link into that interview right in the show notes. So again, go to blog.macsales.com, and there will be a link to the Podcast Digest with my interview. There are no rules in podcasting. So if you hear me doing something that drives you absolutely crazy and that I'm not aware of it, let me know, owcradio@macsales.com, and I can change it. Unless it's, you know, a personality thing, then, well, I just have to live with it. You don't have to live with it, but I do. So I'm going to jump over to, I really had a good time with my chat with Andy Holt. Finally, someone's name I can pronounce. I make that joke at the beginning of the conversation. But, as a podcast host, that's one of the things that I struggle with the most is names. I don't know why. I just get tongue-tied, and it's important that you say people's name correctly, I think. It's a sign of respect, and I never want to get someone's name wrong, so I become very conscious of it, and that's when I mess it up, of course. But with Andy Holt, I could say that with my eyes closed. I don't even have to look at the name on the screen. So I hope you really do enjoy this conversation with Andy. He's a fantastic guy. He really is. If you're in the Edmonton area and you have a need for graphic design or video production, give Andy a call. You'll find his all his contact information on the show notes. Again, episode number 29, OWC Radio at blog.macsales.com. A Square Communications sounds like a great company. Andy's grown it from nothing to what it is today. And he's done it with honor and integrity, which I really, really respect. So here's my conversation with Andy Holt. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I do have a special guest this week. His name is Andy. Andy Holt, a name I can actually pronounce, Andy. There's times that I have guests on, I'm like, okay, one more time, how do you pronounce your name?
My parents made it easy for you.
Yeah, there you go. So thanks to Andy Holt's parents for picking a very easy name for me. How are you, Andy?
I'm very good, thanks, Tim.
So where are you located?
Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada.
Oh, I got to imagine it's very cold there right now.
It's pretty cold. Yeah, we bundle up. It's about minus 20 right now, Celsius. So it freezes your face, but that's good.
Yeah, it wakes you up in the morning, right?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Now, of course, it is the beginning of February 2015 as we record this episode. So in the summertime, it's nice in Edmonton, though.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I love it. We have nice, warm, sometimes really hot, dry summers, which makes up for the pretty much 6 to 8 months of winter that we had.
Yeah. But you guys have good fishing and outdoors. Excellent. And it's a beautiful area. I've been there once, and I think Edmonton is just gorgeous.
It is. And we're close to the mountains, so it's great to have a road trip. Even in the winter, the mountains are beautiful. And in the summertime, it's great to get away. People like to go camping, we're not big campers. Camping for us means, five-star hotel and breakfast buffet. So
I'm kind of with you on that, to be honest. Outdoor camping has never been the kids like it. My wife likes it. Yeah. I mean, not so much, but sometimes you have to make sacrifices for the family, for the things that they like to do. Right.
That's right. It's all, it's a family thing. True.
That's right. So what is A Squared Communications?
A Squared Communications is a company I started up, approaching 6 years ago now, and it's full service started off as a full-service graphic design advertising company, but I do video production, and video has seemed to have taken the front seat and the driving seat in the business over the last few years, particularly live webcasting.
Does that surprise you? Because I would think, I know better, but I would think that the average person would think the video productions would actually be less popular nowadays because cameras are a lot cheaper, video editing software is a lot inexpensive now, the computers themselves much more powerful, even the laptops, you can use a laptop for full production now. So less people would actually pay for video productions, but you're saying it's just the opposite.
It is. I mean, that goes for this. That's the same rule of thumb for desktop publishing, you know, graphic design, brochure production, anything to do with the graphics industry, printing. Print industry has changed. Everything's going digital. And because everything's accessible now, computers and technology is accessible, companies are putting in their own in-house. I've had big clients where I've been getting regular work from them for months and months, and then all of a sudden it dries up because they buy a Mac and they buy a printer and they get a student out of college and sit them down at a desk and pay them minimum wage pretty much. And then their in-house graphic design is taken care of. So there you go, you lose a client, right? So you've got to diversify and fill the gap. And I was basically involved in filmmaking for years. Part of my degree course covered filmmaking. Just a little side note, I went to the same art college as Ridley Scott, the movie director.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of, it was, I got a good reputation for filmmaking. So I kept that as a hobby, right? Photography and filmmaking, I wanted to keep as a hobby. And I went into the design, graphic design, advertising side because I needed to pay the bills. And,
sure, absolutely. That pays.
Right, at the time. So yeah, I started to offer video production. I worked at an ad agency prior to setting up my own business, and I was creative director there. And I said to the guy who owned the business, I said, "Look, we can do our own video production. Just, you know, let's have a go." Because the guy that usually did the video for us was away on a shoot, and we had a client who wanted an urgent job turning around. And I said, "We can do it." So they bought a camera. Like you said, you know, buy a camera, get the software, and away you go. So I was already familiar with that. So I took it over. I took over the video production. Did that for a few years. Then we entered a recession. I think it was around about 2008. And they were laying people off at the ad agency. And it got down to the point where there was myself and a couple of other ladies in the studio. One was a single mom. And I said, "Look, I'll give me the early severance, right, and I'll take it, and I'll set up on my own."
That was nice of you.
So I did. Fortunately, my wife has a really good job, so it was good in the early days. She managed to keep everything afloat. And but A-Squared Communications, you know, we offer a full video production service. I have contract guys. I don't have a payroll per se. So I've got a good bunch of guys that I work with, like camera guys, webcast production guys. If I'm super, super busy, right, I pull them in and they help out. So we have higher definition cameras. We do multi-camera editing on live productions as well as video productions, documentaries and such.
Do you have an eye for the 4K stuff coming up soon? Because I still think it's a little early for 4K, but another 5 years it could be a thing.
Yeah, it is a little bit. We have a client. It's actually a local casino, and they have a bank of a wall of 4K TVs, and they basically put huge video across the video wall in 4K. And I've done a few little video productions for them for that, little promo videos, and I've had to get stock.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a 4K camera, right? So I'm still thinking about a decent 4K camera to do that. But there's no, everybody else isn't ready for it yet, right? It's only one client, so.
Yeah, there's a point where it's like, do I make this investment for this one client, knowing that probably eventually within the next few years, more clients are going to need it? Or do I hold out as long as possible? Because the last thing you want to do is shell out for an expensive camera, and then the work from that client dries up.
Yeah, absolutely. They then later on, a few months later, they, you know, Panasonic brings out a 4K camera, which is half the price of the one you just paid
for.
Right.
Well, that's always going to be the case. I've always been a firm believer of buy what you need when you need it.
Yeah.
Don't look at, you know, oh, I'm thinking about a new iMac, and I think Apple might release one this coming whatever. You know what? Just buy the one you need now. You're going to be a lot happier.
Oh, that's what I did with the Mac Pro. I bought the little trash can black Mac Pro, and it's an amazing machine.
Yeah, you like it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, and I run that's dedicated for video production.
I think that's kind of the what most people that are buying Mac Pros now, the new ones anyways, that's kind of the forte of that machine.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I use custom motion generators for graphics and stuff. So you create those in Motion, bring them into with drop zones and bring them into Final Cut. And my old Mac Pro, which is I think it's a 2009 Mac Pro Tower.
Still a good machine.
Still a good machine. It's an excellent machine. It was struggling a little bit in time, rendering time, right? It was like taking a while.
Yeah.
And I went to the Apple store and tested out the Mac Pro, and boom, did the same kind of test that I did at my office with the tower, and it was like seconds.
Night and day, huh?
I was just sold. It was like I put an order in right away for it, right?
Well, that's because you're going to see an immediate return on your investment, because time is money, especially in video productions. I mean, the quicker you can get done with this render, the faster you can move on.
Yeah. I mean, I still use – I've got Macs here that I've had for a few years, right? I've got a 2004, 2005-ish G5. I call it my Franken-Mac. I built – a good working G5 out of two broken ones.
Yep. You could have had a third. I've got one in the basement that the motherboard shot on.
Oh, yeah. I think the logic board went on one, and I replaced it with a good logic board. But, yeah, I basically ripped two apart and built a brand new one, and it still works.
Yep. Those are pretty solid machines if they didn't break. That was the problem. With the G5 towers, that they broke a lot.
They did. Yeah, I think I've gone through a few of those things.
Yeah,
I can't believe how many broke on me.
So you still keep it in the production workflow at all?
Still in. It's like more like a media server.
Okay.
And I have a Mac Mini for a media server as well. Streams video. It's good to show clients, right? You load a video to it, you can stream it through Apple TV to Boardroom
and it looks brilliant,
and it looks great, you know. Plus then it doesn't tie up any of your other Macs that are being used, right? So the Mac Pro Tower I use for cutting and slicing webcasts, because they're basically recorded on the fly, and you just have to like chop little pieces out here and there.
What do you mean?
In what way?
Well, could you explain the workflow of when you're doing webcasts, you're capturing them and editing them as well on the fly? Yeah,
on the fly. Clients like to have a recording of their event, whether it be a conference, a live show of some kind. I use a TriCaster, NewTek TriCaster for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Solid machine.
Very popular, too.
Yeah, I have two of those. And I hate to say it, but they're Windows based.
Yeah, well, it works for you. That's all that matters at the end of the day, right?
It is, yeah. And it's great that you can plug in the cameras, the audio. I have an audio mixing deck and microphones and everything else, and have a full production suite that's actually mobile, right? You can take it anywhere.
Right.
As long as you have an internet connection, a hardwired connection, you're good to go. When we're doing a live production, I make a recording. And the recording is recorded to the internal hard drive, and then you pull that off with a bus powered USB hard drive of some kind, right? You pull it off, and then you can copy it over to the Mac Pro and Pro, because they're huge files. They're probably like 60, 80 gig.
Oh, maybe. So they're big.
Sometimes 120 gig, depends on how long the show is. And then I use a little plugin, a little software, I SkySoft Media Converter.
Okay.
It's a wonderful piece of software, $35, worth its weight in gold.
So it's shareware?
No, I you can get it from the App Store.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I still think that a lot of stuff that's up there in the App Store is, I would at least consider shareware, small developer. Although that's something that you don't hear that phrase too much anymore, do you? No. It's just app developers now.
That's right. They're app developers, and it's.
I have to update my method, my nameology.
Yeah. App developers now instead of shareware. Yeah,
shareware developers. I guess app developers sound more. I don't know. Real. I don't know. I don't. I always liked the shareware movement. You know, from I'm going to say the early 2000s, the 90s. I was a huge proponent of the stuff that they made.
I remember the 90s when you used to get a Macworld and it come with a floppy disk on the front.
Absolutely.
And you'd be excited and flop stick that in and get some, you know, wild and wacky bit of shareware off there that did some cool stuff. You know.
Yeah. You'd always find good free software on there. Yeah. That's where I think I ran across my first version of, what was that old virus detection software that was free? Virex. Was that it? Virex?
I think so, yeah.
Sounds right. I remember that came out of Macworld floppy, and I ran that thing all the time. It never did anything for me because I never got a virus on my Mac, but I knew people who had got viruses on their Mac, so I knew it was a thing that could happen, and I liked having that protection, but with my current Macs, let me ask you, do you run any kind of malware or virus detection on your Macs? Because I don't at all.
No, I don't on any of them. They're firewalled, but I don't use any Norton virus thing or anything like that.
No, do you think we're playing with fire or?
You know what? We could be, because I'll tell you this. The MacBook Pro, I have a little 13-inch MacBook Pro that I lug around to webcasts and video shoots and photo shoots. And it just goes in my backpack, right? And it gets lugged around everywhere. I get flash drives from clients or whoever's making a presentation at a webcast, and I throw the flash drive in it and copy the presentation over. And
without a second thought.
Without a second thought.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
I noticed it was like late last year. I was every time I had the web browser open on the live stream page to monitor my webcast, I was getting these crazy pop-up windows. You've got malware, blah, 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 all over. And it was like, it just nuts. It was crazy. I did a malware check and it said there wasn't any, but I didn't get any of these messages from anything, right? From on any other Mac when I had the browsers up. It was just this one Mac. And it was the one that I lug around and throw anybody's flash drive in. And then it was somebody wanted a file, and I copied the file back and gave them this flash drive. And then it was a government building, and they locked all their computers down because there was malware on the flash drive. And it was a clean flash drive that I put in and copied this file over. So I'm thinking that there was malware on here, but because of the way the Mac system is structured, I don't think that we're at this point in time in too much of a threat. You know, it just screws up your browser.
It seems like it. It's annoying stuff. I don't see any viruses on the Mac at all that really destroys things. In fact, I don't really even see that on the PC side. It's always they're going to redirect your traffic, and someone's making money from the ads that they're displaying there.
Yeah, there's like pop-up ads everywhere. Yeah. Even though I'd blocked them, right? Blocked everything, they were still coming up. And I basically what I did, I decided to buy an SSD drive and some extra RAM and from OWC.
Yay!
This is just a bit of a testimonial. And it was I replaced it and put it all in, and it's like a brand new Mac. It's faster than the day I bought it.
Yeah, SSDs, it's amazing. When you have a machine that you've been using for a while and you're used to it, when you put an SSD in there, if you're coming from a conventional hard drive, the speed difference, it's like you said, it's like a brand new machine. You're like, holy smokes.
And I couldn't believe that. I was comparing this to my new Mac Pro and my new 15-inch Retina display MacBook Pro. They boot up in like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're ready to go. You're ready to work. This MacBook Pro was taking like 3-4 minutes before I could even do anything.
Yep.
And even then it was still slow. And yeah, it was worth it. Totally worth it. And I'm thinking of doing the same thing with the Mac Pro Tower, replacing the drive with an SSD.
With a 2009 MacBook Pro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mac Pro.
Yeah.
It'll make it a lot faster. You need to get an adapter sled, which we do have at OWC. So yeah, you can make that Mac Pro a screamer.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm considering doing. And for me in Canada, it's worth me paying the extra in the exchange rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the duty, right? FedEx charge you an extra $25 or whatever at the door when they bring it, right, for import duty.
Right.
It's worth those extra little fees, the difference in the exchange and that for me to have my machine working like this. It really is. I couldn't believe it. I wish I'd done it a lot sooner.
That I hear a lot, especially I'm looking on Twitter and I'll see people, oh, I finally upgraded to an SSD. What was I waiting for? I see that quite often. But it is a big leap for some people. The idea of taking apart their Mac and pulling a hard drive out or pulling out the CD drive to put a data doubler and put an SSD in there. It is kind of a daunting thing for a lot of people still.
It is. I mean, I've been used to doing it for years. The old beige Macs, I used to pull apart and rebuild.
Yeah, those were a pain, though, because they had so many sharp edges inside. I can't tell you how many Band-Aids I went through working on, like, an old 6040 processor towers. And you'd get those nicks on your knuckles from the little sharp, jagged metal things in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated those.
Yeah, and I used to have an old PowerBook black thing. It was, like, about 3 inches thick. Remember those things?
Oh, I do. You know, the thing about those were, they were really good machines to type on. I loved them.
Yeah, that's right. They were really heavy stuff. But no, I used to have a basement filled with working Macs, right? I used to collect them. And I got rid of them over the years. But
I hear that a lot. A lot of people don't like to get rid of their old Mac, especially if they still work. They're thinking, I don't want to get rid of it.
Well, I always find a use. Yeah. I always find a use for it, right? It's, my daughter uses an old MacBook, right, for her computer.
Right.
And so they're just passed down. So
that's what we've been doing. My daughter, my 11-year-old uses a white MacBook. Mm-hmm. And, I see her doing things on it, and it looks so pokey and slow, but she's happy because she's got a laptop, and she's, watching her show about it's a YouTube show for Minecraft.
Yeah.
And it's this British guy who has this high, shrieky voice. So now I make her wear headphones when she watches this show.
Yeah. I invested in headphones for my daughter, too.
It's a must. Thankfully, I've got a lot of old iPhone headphones laying around, so that's what she uses.
Yeah.
So your business grew out of necessity.
Yes.
We're in a depression. The economy is bad. You lose your job. And so instead of going to McDonald's and, working there for a while, which, who wants to do that? You actually started your own business. That is a scary prospect, though.
Yeah, it is. It is.
What got you over the hump? What made you go, nope, this is what we're going to do? It's going to be lean, hard times for a while, but we're going to stick with it and do it.
I had a good feeling. I had a really good feeling in my gut that I could make this work. I built up quite a lot of contacts over the years, and we were put on a short week at the ad agency, and for the days off that I had, days off, in quotes,
right?
I was looking for work, and I'd filled those days. I managed to fill those days with work very quickly. Then I was working evenings and then weekends as well, and that was what made me think, I can do this. I can actually make this work, and this is a recession, for crying out loud.
You're probably making more money at that point than you were otherwise.
I was, yeah. So it was like, this is perfect. This is the right time.
Your wife supportive?
Very. Oh, I tell you, she's my rock. Amy supports me 150% if it's possible.
Well, you guys have very hard names in your family to pronounce. Amy and Andy.
That's where A-squared comes from.
Is it?
Yeah, she's actually not involved in the business. She has a very good job and works downtown. And she, totally lets me do whatever I want with the business. So it's cool.
That support for a business user, for a business owner, I can't describe the necessity of that, because let's be honest, you couldn't have done it without her, without that support.
Absolutely not. I mean, the times where I work before Christmas, we went away for vacation over the Christmas time, because look, everybody closes down pretty much for a couple of weeks, so it's the best time of year for me to disappear. I was working more than 15, 16 hours a day for 7 days a week.
Ooh.
Right? For 3 months pretty much straight.
And was it one project, or you were just that busy?
Just that busy, right? Because you've got video projects, you've got documentaries you're working on that you're editing and you're filming, but then you've also got live webcasts that you've got to go out and produce, mm-hmm. record, come back and edit those and process and put them on Vimeo or YouTube for the client. And it was go, go, go.
And you can't turn down business.
Absolutely not.
No.
If you turn down business, they'll find somebody else.
Yeah, and you won't get them back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's right. So I'm always reluctant to do that.
And I've always said, if you run your own business, it's feast or famine.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you've got to ride those, you know, famine times.
Yeah. So 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
And she was there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes it was longer than 12 hours, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was there. She took care of our daughter. And
she was working too. It's not like she was just in the background doing nothing.
Exactly. She has a demanding full-time job. And yeah, and we don't have much of a support network, right? So it's the two of us and my mother-in-law basically locally here. It's great. She's a rock. She's awesome.
I love hearing stories about how families come together when it comes to stuff like this, because at the end of the day, that's why you're doing it. It's for the family. It's for the kids.
That's right. It's for our future.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you see the business growing a lot here in the future?
I don't know.
Or is it at the size that you want it to be?
It's comfortable right now because I don't have payroll to worry about.
That's nice. You
know? I don't have huge premises to rent. It's manageable, and I'm making money, right? So it's successful. Touch wood.
So to grow it, it has to get big, and to get big, it gets more complex, and one person can't manage it that way. So you got to bring in more people, and then you have to deal with all their problems.
And then you hit a recession again, and you've got to. It's harder to deal with it. The mm-hmm. bigger you are, it's harder to deal with that recession. Right, the scale of it becomes larger,
and plus, you know, you don't want to have to lay people off, and you've already by what you've already said, I could tell you have a big heart. You took the leaving the company so a single mom can keep her job.
Yeah,
that's very commendable, by the way.
Oh, thanks. And I also do what I can to help in the community as well. We volunteer. We run a what we call a street ministry program where we go out and feed the homeless.
That's amazing.
And so, you know, we buy food. We ran it actually at our own expense during the summer, buying food and clothes and stuff and going around. People still need it year round, despite the weather, right? They're homeless 24/7, 365.
Well, you hear about the homeless problem, especially in the weather that I'm having. I've got 18 inches of snow here today.
Yeah.
You're sub-freezing temperatures in Edmond, so I've got to imagine you guys got a lot of snow, too. So that makes the front page. Where do the homeless go in weather like this? But people forget, you have to deal with that in January or January and July. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They still have to eat. They still have to have shelter.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, we do what we can. We're in a fortunate position that we can do this. And we give back. We give to the local food bank and, you know, we donate, you know, to charities like that. And
great lessons to teach your kids, too.
By volunteering our time, our daughter is 7 now. She actually came out with us a few times during the summer and helped. And she really wants to get involved.
That's amazing.
So we're kind of, you know, passing that torch on to her. So when we, you know, we move on to the, she can take over. But it's one of the things that we feel strongly about, right? It's we're trying to end that.
I admire it. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever be able to end it. It's just part of society. But more people that get involved in charities like this, that And it doesn't even have to be an official charity, just you doing something to help people. It'll make the problem a lot less worse. And even if you can help just one person, I think it's well worthwhile.
Yeah.
It really is. Andy, every guest that I have here on OWC Radio in this setting, I always have three random questions.
Okay.
And I never let the guests know what they're going to be ahead of time. Okay. And we're going to get to those in a second. I just want you to prepare yourself because these are going to be hard-hitting, Barbara Walters make you cry type of questions. Just a heads up. Not really. Okay. So what did you study in school? You said graphic design?
Yeah, it was visual communications was the title of the degree, yeah.
What did you think you were going to do with that degree?
Make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought I was going to end up finding a job that I loved, right? It was about doing something that I had a passion for. At the time, I wanted to make money to survive, but I wanted to do something I enjoyed because at the end of the day, I feel lucky. I'm fortunate that every day I go to work and I love my job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're never, it's been testing me sometimes, right? It tests anyone. It's stressful and it can be, trying, but.
And it just makes you love it even more, I think.
I never regret my decision. I love working with Apple computers. I've worked with them for like 30 years, and I just love my job, period.
Were your parents real supportive about your decision?
Yeah, my mom more so. My dad was very blue collar and didn't see the benefit of me going to art school. He said, I want you to get a proper job, but once he saw what I could do,
he was for it.
And I had got my first job, and he saw that I enjoyed my job, and that was important, right? I think.
What did he do?
What did he do?
Yeah,
he worked in public transport.
Okay, so he got his hands dirty.
He did. I mean, he was never out of work. Right, he was never out of work. Even he had to take early retirement from public transport because of the privatization.
Yeah,
and right away he got a job at a local dairy, delivering milk. And he just did anything to make money. He worked at a baker's delivering bread, and
he knew what the bad times were like.
He grew up in it was like wartime basically, so he knew. How times could be tough. So my mom was more on the creative side. She was a dressmaker.
So you got that from her, you think?
I think I got the creative side from my mom's side of the family. My grandfather was a carpenter, and my mom was a dressmaker. So yeah, the artistic creative side comes from that side of the family.
But they instilled, it sounds to me, a very good work ethic in you.
Very. I miss my parents every day. I miss them. And my dad was a very hard worker, set a good example, right, to work and provide for your family. And that's something that we're going to pass on to our kids.
Well, they'd definitely be proud of you. You're running your own business. You're successful. Sounds like you have a great family life. You're giving back to the community. What more could they have asked?
Yeah, I hope so anyway. Yeah,
I do too. So let's get to the three random questions. The first one's, this is going to be a hard one. You ready?
Yeah.
Are you a good cook?
Am I a good cook?
Yeah. Let's ask this. Would your wife say that you're a good cook? Because you might be a little biased in that answer.
Yeah, my wife would say not really. my repertoire is very limited, right? Let's put it this way. I made my daughter yesterday for breakfast. Sunday morning, she's watching cartoons on the TV, and she goes, I said, what do you want for breakfast, kiddo? She goes, I'd like a Hello Kitty pancake.
That's pretty specific.
I made her a Hello Kitty pancake.
That's cool.
Complete with bow.
With a bow.
And whiskers. So, I'm getting into pancake art, Russell. My creativity into the cooking side of it. So
I just saw a Facebook video like a week ago of pancake art.
Yeah.
Seriously. Incredible. They use different food colors in the pancake batter, and they put them in squeeze bottles. And
yeah,
it's amazing.
I know. Now I've got to get a squeeze bottle because she wants more elaborate ones now.
See, you didn't think you were going to be talking about pancake art on OWC Radio, did you?
I did not, no.
All right. Number two, and I'm going to modify this question because it says, what's the last thing you bought? What's the last technology thing that you bought?
The last technology thing that I bought.
That could be cameras, that could be RAM, that could be a new phone, an iPad.
Yeah. Well, I got the new iPhone 6.
How do you like it?
Technology. I love it.
Yeah? Six or 6 Plus?
I got the 6 because I still want it to fit in my pocket.
Yep.
Yeah.
I went with the 6 Plus. I could fit it in my pocket, but I am a little worried about when it's July and I've just got a pair of shorts on and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, can I really carry it around at that point? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good because, like, if my workout shorts, like for the gym, I can actually still fit it in there, right? So if I need to. So a 6 Plus, I just wouldn't be able to take it anywhere.
Now, as someone who does video productions, what do you think of the camera on the 6?
It's great.
Yeah.
I love it. I actually love the slow-mo.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, the high speed and on the camera, and you slow it right down. It's amazing.
Did you see that story? The guy at the Sundance Film Festival came out and said that this movie that was critically acclaimed at Sundance was completely filmed on an iPhone 5S.
Oh, I've seen a few of those. They're incredible. Yeah. They can have some rigs, though. You can have, like, several iPhones. They say it's filmed entirely on an iPhone, but they may have, like, half a dozen, maybe more iPhones on different rigs, and you can actually get dollies for them.
Yes, I saw a lot of those at CES a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. there's one at my local store. We have a store called Vistech here in Canada. It's similar to B&H Photo.
Mm-hmm.
So, if my wife calls me and I say, oh, I'm just at Vistech, she's like, oh, my goodness, what are you buying now? I can't go in there without dropping a few $100, right? It's more.
We all have those type of stores that you just can't help it. You have to.
I went for an audio cable and came out with a new set of headphones. What else did I buy? I can't remember.
And let's be honest, how many headphones do you already have?
Oh, I know. It's like I was sick of lugging around these headphones, like unplugging them from my Mac to take to a webcast. So I'm like, I got an extra pair.
Yeah,
just because I can.
Keep it in the bag.
That's right. Yeah. So one stays in the camera bag and one stays here. So
in the same way, I do a lot of traveling for OWC, and I've got a pair of headphones that I used. I'm using them right now for the podcast because they go over my ear, but they're very comfortable. And I also want to take them with me when I'm on the road. But when I listen to music at home, I have yet another pair. And if I'm doing work in the yard, I got yet another pair. So I've got 4 or 5 headphones myself. I'm kind of addicted to them.
That's good. We all have those little addictions. My wife thinks I'm addicted to technology. So,
but you make your money in technology.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have an excuse.
Yeah, we have. We must have about 5 iPads in the house. 2 first generation ones that are still going strong.
They are starting to show their age, though. I've got the original. I've got an iPad 3, and I've got the new iPad Air 2.
Oh, okay.
And when I go back to the first generation iPad, it seems pretty slow and pokey.
Yeah, it is. My daughter has both the first generation ones. You know, so she watches movies in the car and stuff, and or on the plane.
Is the battery still holding up on it?
Battery's pretty good. Yeah,
I'm surprised about that. You know, it's been 4 years since this thing came out, and the batteries on this first generation seem to be lasting still.
They're better than the iPhone 4S, which
that's terrible.
Which dies after like an hour of use.
Yep, right? I have the same problem. We have kind of a tradition in our family that the older iPhones, when they're finally out of use as a phone, become glorified iPod touches for the younger kids.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what we do.
And the iPhone 4S is the one that's not holding up. In fact, my very first generation iPhone from 2007 still gets better battery life than the iPhone 4S.
Yeah, I can believe it.
The kids they don't want to play that old iPhone because none of the newer games work on it, but the battery just lasts and lasts and lasts. And I don't know. Apple didn't do a real good job on the 4S.
No.
What do you think of the 6, though? Are you getting good battery life?
6 is great, yeah.
6 Plus is amazing. It's the first one I've had that I don't even worry about running out of battery.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Last question. This is the tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you scream on roller coasters?
Yes. I have a funny picture of me and my daughter on a, I don't know where it was now, Disney somewhere, I think. It may have been Space Mountain, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
I'm screaming like a baby, I think. She's loving every minute of it. I hate roller coasters.
I do too. When's the last time, was that the last time you were on a roller coaster?
When did I? I don't like heights. That's the thing. I think I don't like the height, being high up, and I don't know what it is.
It's a combination of the heights and being in no control at all. That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
And totally. We went to a place called Michigan's Adventure. We go there usually every summer. The kids love it. It's a lot closer to Cedar Point or, you know, any of the other bigger amusement parks. And it's fun. They have a blast there. Mm-hmm. But I found that I can't ride the spinny ride stuff anymore. My stomach can't handle it the way it used to, you know, even 10 years ago. I get nauseous on them now. I don't know if it's an age thing or I don't know. But I just can't ride that stuff anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I don't like it.
No. But you got to do it for the kids.
My daughter now is fortunately, she can go on most roller coasters and with friends, right? So we go to a theme park and she's okay. Actually, we were at one and there was just my wife and I and her. And she went on with some other kids that she'd never met before.
It's amazing. They can make friends quick at that age, can't they?
Okay, you go, kid, because I'm happy about this. I don't have to go on with you.
Well, another few years and they're not going to want you there at all. They're like, I'll just meet you over here by the jumbo thing in, you know, 3 hours.
I'll be on my iPad at the end of the ride waiting for you.
There you go. So, Andy, I want to thank you for being on this episode of OWC Radio. It was my pleasure to talk to you. Do you have any websites that we can put in the show notes so people can find out more information about you and the business?
I guess the asquaredcommunications.com.
Okay, and you're on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. My handle is @themanwho66.
What I got to ask what that is about. The man who 66.
I was born in 1966, okay. So that's my year of birth. And there's a band, independent band from Scotland called Travis. And one of their early albums was called The Man Who.
Oh, okay.
It's one of my favorite albums, and I'm a big music fan. I love music.
Any ability to play?
I've been learning guitar over the last quite a few years now. Don't have the same amount of time to practice as I used to because I'm super busy. Music is a passion of mine.
Awesome.
So that's where it came from, basically.
Awesome. Any other websites?
I guess you can go on to the About Me.
I'll put that in there as well, your About Me page.
.me/AndyHolt1. There's every links there to my WordPress, all my work websites, and Instagram. Instagram is the same handle as Twitter.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, thanks for being on OWC Radio. Keep in touch. We'd love to hear back from you in a few years and see how the business is going.
I'd love to keep in touch, and if you've got any other things you want to ask me in future, I'm more than happy to contribute to the show.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate it.
All right, Tim. Take care and stay warm, my friend.
You too.
Okay. Bye now.